Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Sank, also known as Rhett Zagreso, the host of LifeNet Radio, speaking with Dr. Sidney M. Lamb, the originator of neurocognitive linguistics, and certainly one of the basic questions we must ask is, how did neurocognitive linguistics, the whole thing, begin?
Oh, well, that goes back a long way. Well, it began, I suppose, we can say, with stratification of grammar, which was a theory I was developing along with some colleagues back in, it goes back as early as the 1960s. It even got started in the late 1950s. We came to the conclusion that the linguistic system used by people is in people's brains, and you wouldn't expect it to be the same as language as we see it. What we see of language is on the outside of people's brains. We hear speech, we see words on paper, but not what is in the brain. Back in those days, the 50s and 60s, a lot of linguists were interested in figuring out the nature of linguistic structure, that is, the structure that lies behind all those words and sentences that people produce. I came to the conclusion, after a lot of work, that the whole structure has the form of a network. I called it a relational network. It's a network based on relationships. I was influenced by the Danish linguist Louis Jelmslev, that's Jelmslev, who was saying back in the 1940s that a linguistic system is nothing but a system of relationships. That seemed like a very attractive notion, but he never really developed it. In order to get the notion across, you need a notation that will show these relationships in the form of a network. Jelmslev never developed such a notation. I was starting to develop such a notation. I met Michael Halliday, who was already developing a network notation for his theory, systemic grammar, which turns out to be related to the work that I was doing. And I adapted his notation, and that became relational network notation. That was the beginnings of this whole thing. I used to give lectures at various universities about this system, language as a system of relations, and I would show these diagrams, and people would ask me, well, these look like wiring diagrams or maybe diagrams of neural networks in the brain. Do they have anything to do with neural networks in the brain? They would ask me. I had to say I don't have the slightest idea because I don't know anything about the brain. But after people asked me this several times, I decided I should find out something about the brain. So I was on the faculty at Yale at that time. I called up a man in the biology department who worked on neurophysiology. We'd never met, but I found his name in the catalog. He said, could we have lunch sometime? I want to find out about neurons. And he said, sure, and we had lunch. And he started drawing diagrams of neurons and telling me how they operate. And I was very impressed at how close they come to the elements of my relational networks. So then I decided, well, we've really got something here. Maybe we should look at the brain a little more. That's how it all got started.